Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Gaudete, Rejoice Sunday, from the Gospel reading. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. This is our text. Just as Advent comes before Christmas, so John the Baptizer comes before Jesus. If we know who John is, then we'll also know who Jesus is. That's what the leaders of Jerusalem were trying to figure out. Who is John? They sent messengers to ask him. John is the voice crying in the wilderness, as we heard last Sunday. He prepares the way of the Lord. He is the forerunner. He announces that God is coming. And now today, this Sunday, we hear that he came to bear witness about the light. A light witness. Who is John? He was not the light, but he was a witness to the light. And this light is the reason for our joy today. The light shines in the darkness. Those words come from right before today's gospel reading. As we think about light, we can't help but also think about darkness, because the two are opposed to each other. When God created the heavens and the earth, we're told that darkness was over the face of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Creation, that creation, foreshadows what we also see in redemption. You see, the Gospel of John begins with the creation, but finds within the creation a deeper darkness. The darkness that came because of the fall into sin. Now, there are several ways we might think about this spiritual darkness. First, there's the darkness of sin itself. Wicked deeds are done in the dark, and they are hidden by the dark. Second, there's the danger of walking in darkness. We can think here about the 23rd Psalm, which describes life as a journey through the valley of the shadow of death, through the darkness of death. Today we're going to focus on a third way of thinking about darkness. There's the uncertainty and the fear created by darkness, what we might call the darkness of time. And here I want to go back to Adam and Eve for a minute and think about their experience when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve faced this darkness after their sin. As they moved into the future, it was a future of pain in having and raising children. It was a future of strife and sorrow in marriage and relationships. It was a future of frustrating sweat and toil in their work. Adam and Eve were driven from the Garden of Eden eastward into an unknown land and an uncertain future. Think about what they were leaving behind. Eden had been a land, a place of peace and of certainty and of joy. But east of Eden, where they head, is completely different. Behind Adam and Eve stands the cherubim and a flaming sword to guard the way back. In front of them, darkness, the unknown. We also experience time in this way. We sometimes even say that the future is dark. We don't just mean these long, dark days of winter, nor do we simply mean the darkness of sin and death that lie ahead. The future is dark means that it is unknown and unpredictable and uncertain. We always live in this kind of darkness. We always live with the future being dark in this way, but it seems even more pronounced this year. The only image that I can come up with at the moment is that it's like the difference between seeing a black bear at a distance versus encountering it face to face. In the first case, you have time. Time to prepare. You get that rush of adrenaline and can plan your next move. But when the black bear is face to face, what do you do then? God help you. For many of you, thinking about the future may be like being face to face with a black bear right now. The unknowns in life are bigger and they are closer, and you have no idea what to do about them. You may be thinking things like this: when will the vaccine be available? Will it be effective? Will it be safe? What about Christmas plans? What about the Christmas services I mentioned beforehand? Will it be wise to gather as a family, as a church? Will it be socially acceptable? What about the economy? Will I still have my job after the holidays? Will my business survive? Will we ever go back to school full time? And who even knows? I mean, it's the blind leading the blind. The future is dark indeed. But into this uncertainty, into this dark future, God sent a man whose name was John. John bears witness to the light. He's like a man standing on top of the mountain who sees the first ray of sunlight. Or in our area, it's worth picturing him on Cadillac Mountain in the heart of Acadia National Park, where the first light of day falls on the United States. That's John. And through John, we see that the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. This light is better than a match that blazes for a moment and then dies. This light is brighter than a flickering candle. This light is superior even to the sun, because it needs no power source, no fuel, no matter or energy beyond itself. The light that John sees from that mountaintop has no beginning, and it will never burn out. This light is eternal. He is the one through whom all things were made. He is one with the Father from all eternity. Or as we say in the Nicene Creed, light of light. So it's as if John comes to us from an eastern mountain. Having glimpsed the first light beyond the horizon, he runs to tell us about it. The day dawns, he cries. The light is already shining. Even the darkness is not dark to him. John sees that the future is filled not with darkness, but light. John sees that what lies ahead is brighter than what we see now. Yes, brighter even than the golden ages of the past. Brighter than the 1950s. The darkness is brief. The darkness is passing. That's what John sees. Now, this light illuminates creation by speaking what he hears from the Father. This light reveals the depths of sin and darkness, to be sure. This light reveals how awful death is, but he also reveals the gracious will of God. But the Gospel of John also tells us that when this light appeared, this revelation didn't sit well with the people of his day. They preferred the darkness. More than just plain darkness, they preferred the outer darkness, the eternal darkness, the perpetual uncertainty. They closed their eyes and their ears to the glorious light. They snuffed him out with a cross. And on that Friday when Christ died, darkness was over the face of the earth once again, like a thick cloud, like a stone rolled in front of a grave. You put God to death. You close God out. And that's how dark it gets. But remember John. John came as a witness to the light. He was not the light, but he pointed to the light. And even though we live in a day when John's head has been removed, he still speaks. He continues to bear witness. He continues to announce from the mountaintop the coming of the light. He proclaims it. "Look for this one," he says, "for he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie." John is the lesser light. In him we see reflected the rays from the greater light. The light eternal can never be put out. The light eternal didn't remain in the darkness of death. The darkness has not overcome it. You see, the cross and the grave have not dimmed the brightness of this light. They've only made it brighter still. Light is risen. He shone forth from the grave to bring light and life to all creation. Forever transfigured, this is the strong and joyful light that shall outlast the passing night. And this is our future, bright and fair. This those who follow him shall share. Even now, the light that pierces the darkness is shining. What is dark to you is not dark to him. Though we can't see the future, though we don't know what tomorrow will bring, much less Christmas or the new year, we know him. And we see him by faith. And we find joy in what he brings. Because he brings light and life for us now, until the day comes when he brings that light and life that has no end, that will shine forever and ever. The book of Revelation describes the new heavens and the new earth like this. There is no sun or moon, for the Lamb is the light in the city of our God. So he comes into our dark and uncertain times to give us himself, to be the light of the world, and to be your light as well. By faith, we see the crucified and risen Lord shining, the one who destroyed the darkness of death for us, and the one who promises a future brighter than anything we could possibly imagine. So bright is this future that we can endure the darkness ahead. Whatever else may come, however worse it may get, the light has come, and the light will come again. And you can almost see it. Every candle in a window, every bulb on a tree, every strand hanging in your neighborhood points to him. And let your light also shine, reflecting the light of Christ. He is the answer to our prayer now, even as he will be the answer to our prayers fully and finally when he comes in glory and brightness. He lightens the darkness of our hearts today by his gracious visitation. Yes, he lifts from our shoulders the weight of sin. Yes, he takes death from off our backs, but he also lightens the burden of the future. The light shines on us now with grace and mercy. And I know as we think ahead, it feels like we are simply groping our way forward. But it isn't the blind leading the blind anymore. We're led by the one who created the light and made the eye to see it. We're led by the one who brought the blind out of darkness and gave them sight. If the future is dark to us, it's not dark to him. And for us, even, it's more like the darkness of a tunnel. We're passing through it, but all the while he fixes our eyes on the light at the tunnel's end, at the brightness of the new day on the other side. The light will see us through. The darkness cannot end our joy. This is the witness of John. Rejoice, for even now the light that pierces the darkness is shining. Or as Zechariah, John's father, seeing the light reflected in his son's birth, said, "You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. John bears witness to the light. And now, dear brothers and sisters, now rejoice. Rejoice in the light. Gaudete, gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine. Gaudete, rejoice, rejoice. Christ is born of the Virgin Mary. Rejoice. It is now the time of grace that we have desired. Let us sing songs of joy. Let us give devotion. From where light rises, salvation is found. Therefore, let our congregation now sing in brightness. Let it praise the Lord. Greetings to our King. In Jesus' name, amen.